Hey, I'm Tara Lynn of Geek Saga Entertainment, here with my co-host Manny for the Geek Saga Show series, The Media That Made Us. This series focuses on media that the two of us consumed in our younger, or maybe even just slightly younger years, media that helped shape our current interests and that we still love.
So I'm Manny, and for our fifth Media That Made Us episode, we're continuing our coverage of the reimagined Battlestar Galactica series and discussing what we're calling the Perfidy Arc, which includes episodes 13 through 17 of BSG Season 2.
Before we get started, just a heads up that you can follow me and therefore all of the Geek Saga endeavors at A Geek Saga on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Twitter, and YouTube.
And you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Manissimo Art.
Last but hopefully not least, we hope that you'll check out the Geek Saga Entertainment Patreon. We have 10 tiers that range from $1 to $40 a month. It's a great way to support us and receive some fun perks in return, including early access to all of our podcasts, be they podcast versions of live episodes like these or podcast-only episodes, plus some other interesting things. And I've been a little bit slack in adding additional stuff to the Patreon just because I've had so many podcast episodes that I've had to edit recently. But I've got some Spotify playlists that I created from old song lists I found from like 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007 and stuff like that. And I am planning on at least trying to do National Novel Writing Month next month. So yeah, I'm excited to add some different stuff to it. You can check that out at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment.
Our format for these episodes includes our top five moments that made it, basically our hot takes from the portion of the series we're covering, followed by any insights we've uncovered from the rewatches and or being longtime fans.
Also, I'm going to apologize in advance. I am sick. I don't maybe sound super sick, but I've got a runny nose. I am sneezing a lot. My throat is a little bit sore, which is causing a little bit of coughing. I'm going to do my best to not do these things with my mic on, but I apologize in advance if I do not mute myself fast enough and also if I'm a little bit off this episode because I'm running at about 60%. At best today. So before we dig into our top five moments, I also just want to make a quick note as to why we're calling this the Perfidy Arc. The word perfidy means deceitfulness or untrustworthiness, and these episodes are simply packed with all sorts of untrustworthy characters and deceitful actions. Oh, so yeah. That said,
first up, we have a damn it Baltar moment from the episode 13, Epiphanies, in which he reblesses a nuke he received for his Cylon test to Gina 6 for her demand peace movement.
I love the term reblesses in this context.
Exactly.
Brief aside, Gina, when she opens that nuke, though, he likes me. He really likes me, even though I don't really want him to. I feel like going through her mind. I don't know. It was just I remember like I'm rewatching these episodes and I messaged you and was like, oh, my God. Like,
look, but how can you truly express your love for a woman until you get her very own nuclear warhead? I mean, come on. She can declare herself an independent state at this point. Yeah, and another thing about the nuke, why is it that no like radiological alarms went off when they were transporting this thing from ship to ship? You know, we're pretty primitive compared to this, but we got the TSA, right? You got to wait in line, you got to take your shoes off. And not only do you have the Cylon War and they look like us, you also have this demand, you know, peace movement that literally almost blew up a fucking ship. And it's like, oh, no, we're just going to let people just kind of walk back and forth through all of this, you know, and it's no big deal. How what's in that really heavy case, you know? Oh, yeah, don't worry about it. And then, like, when you open it and you see the way it's, like, standing, what kind of, like, overhead compartments do they have on these, like, I assume you can't lay it flat, like, shove it, like, oh, I don't think this is going to work.
I mean, yeah. Honestly, like they even have TSA in Star Wars, as we learned in, I can't remember if it was The Mandalorian or Boba Fett, because for obvious reasons, if anybody is listening and has watched those two shows, they mesh together. But like, there's this whole scene where I think it's Mando is.
It was. Yeah. I think it was on the Boba Fett show, but it was when the Mandalorian was on the Boba Fett show.
He's going onto like a public transport and they're like, you have to remove your weapons, sir, or something. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, come on, even Star Wars has a TSA. And also, this is like immediately, you're not immediately, but like very close to post 9/11, like a few years. So you think, but nah.
You would think, but they're like, sir, Your nuclear warhead is going to have to travel in the bottom in cargo. We just want to make sure that everything doesn't, you know.
It's like the, do you have any e-cigarette or other, or like lithium battery?
Exactly. Like, no, I don't have anything like that. I promise. Nothing
well,
like that.
Well, those can't go in the cargo hold. So. Yeah.
Do you have anything liquid or combustible? Combustible? Well, I mean, it depends on the delivery, maybe, you know, but no, not really. And yeah, look. Trisha Helfer is so beautiful, you know, like she is just so gorgeous. And when she smiles, it's so beautiful. And I see her opening up this nuke, you know, because she's Gina, right? So Gina's opening up this nuke and you see her face light up. And it like reminded me of those commercials where it's like, oh my God, he went to Jared's, you know, like this is like, what a great gift.
Or like K Jewelers, every kiss begins with K.
Yeah, so dude.
What would that be? What would that be?
Oh my God, dude. It would be like every decimation begins with K, you know? Like,
oh my God. And also, like, I'll be honest, I can't actually remember off the top of my head, and I have not rewatched past episode 17 of season mm-hmm. 2 and Razor. So yeah. I haven't seen the rest of BSG since my last rewatch it, I think 2018. So like, I actually cannot remember what, if anything, is done with this nuke. But this whole episode, it's a lot of Rosalind is sick. And mm-hmm. I guess like, we could have gone with, okay, well, Rosalind is sick and she's also ordering Adama to get rid of Sharon and Hilo's baby. And then in the mm-hmm. end, it turns out that that's the only thing that can save her. But it all goes back to Baltar because he's the one that proves that. And then he's riding his high horse and mm-hmm. he gets that letter from Rosalind that's like, yeah, listen, you're probably going to be in charge if I die real soon. And while you're in charge, don't fuck it up. And he's all pissed about it. And so nuke to Gina. So it all, one thing leads to another. And also I have some mixed feelings about the fact that I guess they're not stem cells. I looked it up and it's not like a stem cell thing. Apparently Ronald D. Moore like thought about doing the stem cell thing, but then he was like, I want this to focus less on that and more on like the human side of things. So I don't know.
Yeah, it was weird. I will say this about the nuke, though. This was probably like the best reveal of something until the end of the season. Battlestar always does like a good job on kind of like building up the way they kind of build things. And I feel like the first parts of these episodes were, let's just say, not as great as the other ones. So at least with the nuke thing happening, it was like, oh, that's cool. You know, like, wow. So now someone has a nuke on the fleet. That whole demand piece stuff is bullshit anyway. So it's, at this point, it's just like, well, what is she going to use her gift on? You know, like she literally got a gift card of just destruction. So it's like, where are you going to spend it? And that's what we're all waiting for.
She had a gift card for nuclear war.
Exactly. You get, yeah, here's your start a nuclear war card free, you know, like, here you go.
Christ. Well, let's go on to our second moment, which is best summed up as ding dong, the Raider's dead. Which old Raider? The scarred old Raider. Ding dong, the scarred old Raider is dead. I was trying to come up with something funny and I don't know why I had this immediate like ding dong, the Raider is dead. And it doesn't really work like the actual Wicked Witch song does. But yeah. That said, I went there. I couldn't come up with anything better. So there's that.
I think we're going to have to start making at least one mandatory song per podcast moving on, because I feel like we're kind of going there. Like eventually we're going to have the media that made us or something, the musical, and we're just going to do everything in musical form. And, you know,
well, I mean, the music also plays a very important part in this show, yes. Particularly later on. But that said, this song has nothing to do with anything and doesn't even really work all that well. But whatever, like I said, I went there. So anyway, this one is from episode 15, which is literally named Scar. And that is the name that they have given the Raider that they kill in this episode. I will say, like, Sarbuck does deserve some possibly slash probably most of the flack that she catches in this episode, but Kat is kind of over the top at times, and especially so when at the end she can't just let sleeping dogs lie in the post-Scar kill party scene. at least Starbuck keeps her cool. And this leads to her toasting to all those who've gone before, because yes, she does remember all of their names, despite what she said to Apollo earlier in the episode about not remembering them. I don't know. Starbuck does deserve some of the flack, but Kat just gets on my nerves. Maybe I'm alone in that, but I just...
No, the thing is that like I like Kat as a character. I always did. But in this episode, I was like, dude, shut the fuck up. I was so done with her shit.
Yeah.
At this point where I was like, man, don't you got some stems to take or something? Just go do something, you know? Like,
this is kind of a random aside, but and maybe it doesn't really belong under here, but I also just want to say that I love Hilo and Starbuck's friendship. And to be fair, he does kind of talk her through some of the things she's doing and feeling and why she's reacting to things the way she's reacting to them in this episode regarding Scar. But this is a really great Hilo and Starbuck friendship episode, in my opinion.
Well, I'll say this. It's the best part of the episode. You know, literally those last few minutes, because I didn't like this episode. I know why the episode was there. Like, I know what they were trying to do here. This is one of those like, well, we just need a plot to actually do what we're trying to do, which was probably just have Starbuck grow a little bit more, you know, and that's what they did. But in all honesty, I thought the concept of that there's this one kind of rogue raider out there and they're just fighting this thing as if it's some kind of like Ace Combat fighter or something, I didn't like it. I thought it was kind of lame. And honestly, I had to kind of truck through this episode. I'm not going to lie. You know, it's definitely not as bad as that other one, but
the one that we have not even named.
The one that we haven't even named.
You have to go over in this episode of our podcast. I'll be honest, like I didn't really remember having strong feelings one way or the other for this episode, but rewatching it, I was kind of like,
Yeah, because I remember when I first watched it, the takeaway that I had was the very ending interaction with Starbuck and Hilo, you know, because we've all kind of been in that situation where we're kind of like away from the noise and we're trying to work out in our heads, like, what is going on? What is motivating us? Why are we doing this? So I feel like that was probably one of the most realistic moments in the entire show from start to finish. And it's a quick little few minutes in the thing, but I think it just made a huge difference. And that to me is actually what made the episode worth watching, is because of that. If it would have just been like, yeah, let's toast a cat and then everyone hugs in the end and nothing happens, I'd have been like, I probably would have just skipped the episode. I've been like, you know, I
need to rewatch this one.
Yeah, like, well, you already know what happens, you know.
Yeah, it does give us like the knowledge that it's not just the humanoid Cylons that resurrect, it's the Raiders too. Mm-hmm. That does seem a little bit like, I would like to know more about this, because like it's very hive mind with the Raiders especially. And it's interesting that, okay, well, Scar like remembers being killed this many times, but also this literally gives them a never ending supply of everything. And of course the resurrection ship is at this point already destroyed, but like kind of introducing that knowledge this late in the game just seems a little bit,
it's just off.
Yeah, it doesn't really seem necessary. Really, like, I don't hate this episode, but I don't think it's like, to be fair, most of these episodes in this set of five episodes aren't necessary feeling to me, but you know.
But it is kind of weird, right? Because when you talk about like the Cylons themselves, right, they resurrect and they go to the same body so they can keep doing what they're supposed to be doing. With the Raiders, it doesn't make sense for me to do that. If there's one Scar, then they should all be Scar. Because what their purpose is to fly in formation. Their purpose is to, you know, attack. It's a different species of Cylon. I'm not saying they're not alive, but it's just a different species. It's literally the difference between a person and like an animal or like a pack animal or something, right? They have to function in a certain way. A dog acts a certain way because that is how it's wired. That's just who it is. I can't teach the dog to stand up on two legs and go to work with me and, you know, and help me balance my checkbook, right? Can't do that. He's not designed for that. So this concept, you know, like you said, it is true, that they just kind of did this way too late in the game. It's like, well, if there's one Scar, yeah, they should be, that all of them should be Scar, you know, all of them should be this. Because I would see it would be necessary for those ships and those things to have that hive mind to where they all know it. Because now you're talking about one ship out of all those ships that has all of these tactics of how the humans fight, and these other ships don't have that.
Yeah. And there's no way to like spread that information either, it seems, because he's the only one that is this adept.
Mm-hmm.
and this angry, like the rest of them are just going about their jobs, man. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Bro, they're like, I got a wife and baby raider to go home to. Like, why are you so mad, bro? You know,
like, or like that art installation where it's like you do the crank and it churns out a penny and like it adds up to like 725. Like all the other raiders are just pulling the crank, but this one raider is like real angry about that minimum wage.
He's just pissed. He's gone a little postal, you know?
I mean, and rightfully so, but like, if they all resurrect, then why, like you said, even if they don't all have Scar's mind, why aren't they all like that? It's just so, I guess he's the only one that's been around that many times. I don't know. But
it still wouldn't make sense to not share whatever information that he's getting from the battles and battles and battles that he's had and share it with the rest of the raiders. Cause now they can all be good as Scar instantaneously.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, sorry, you know, you like newcomers, you guys are going to, you know, you guys are going to have to earn your bones like the way the rest of us did and keep dying until you get good. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't track.
Well, he's dead now. So goodbye, Scar. I am glad that what happened in this episode, we got a really great moment with Starbuck, you know, cheersing to all of the ones who've gone before. We got all that really great Hilo and Starbuck interaction. Love them. Love them. Love them. Love Hilo. Starbuck is, I'm probably more like Starbuck, but Hilo's who I want to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they are my two favorite characters. So chef's kiss.
They make a very good, weird team because it's not like, it's strange. I wouldn't anticipate them being friends at all to begin with because Starbuck is very extreme and this guy's very like kind of level headed. You know, he does kind of have his moments, but he's like, but they balance each other out so perfectly. And when you see them together, it's like a brother and sister hanging out outside of the chaos and out, and there's like a gentleness to it, you know, there's like a sibling structure there almost the way it is with each other. And yeah, their relationship is fucking great. I think that's one of the interactions between, you know, Hilo and Starbuck throughout the entire series that they just nailed it from start to finish.
How about next up?
Moment number three is really more of a succession of moments that we're calling Billy and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day.
Really, though, that's what this episode, which was episode 16, should have been called instead of just Sacrifice.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion. Mm-hmm. I know that the actor who played Billy hadn't signed a full 5-year contract with Battlestar Galactica, despite it being offered to him. What I read was that he wasn't sure the character would go far enough and he wanted to be free to pursue other projects if they came up. But the actor was surprised about the timing of when the showrunners called him in and said they were killing off the character. He hadn't expected it to be so soon. Mm-hmm. So even though it was mostly on him for not signing that contract and they were therefore unsure of his availability and decided to kill off his character when they did, man, you still got to feel bad for Billy during this episode. First, he gets dumped when proposing to Dee.
Yep.
Then he catches her on a date with Apollo like that same day, I think.
Yep.
Then they all become hostages and he watches Dee fawn over Apollo after he is injured. Then Billy tries to be a hero and doesn't even really accomplish this before getting killed in the process. This dude, poor guy, really bad day. And not to mention his death is another one of those things that has far-reaching consequences because in losing her aide, Rosalyn obviously has to hire another one. And this is how Tori comes on the scene. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it just like I said, this episode really should have been called Billy and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. And if you're not getting the reference, it's a book from, I don't know, the 80s or 90s. The original book was Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Mm-hmm. Oh, it wasn't even 80s or 90s. Yo, this was published in 1972.
Oh, shit. I thought it was the 80s.
I assumed because I read it when I was a kid that it was 80s or 90s, but... Apparently it was just one of those famous books, but yeah. Anyway, poor Billy. I do like, you know, some of this was based on the actor's choices, but I do feel bad for the character in this episode because wow, dude, it really honestly couldn't have gotten worse for you.
Yeah, look, I don't know how media, like show business and all that stuff works, but if I was one of the writers, I'd been like, look, Billy is not used that much to begin with. If he wants to pursue something else, be like, hey, Billy, can we bring you back? Because look, when season 3 takes place, and in particular the end of season 2, it would have been great to have Billy there because I would have loved to have seen how he interacts with the president. And then when they're on New Caprica, what would he have been doing when we have another president? Stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Would he be still part of that, or would he be still helping out Laura Roslin? I think he would have still been helping out Laura Roslin. So it would have been cool to like kind of see that. But no, the writers can't give us a break. They can't, you know, they have to do their Battlestar shit that they do. And they're like, I got a good idea. Hey, you know that nice guy that you guys like? He's kind of quirky, you know, and like stuff like that. Yeah, I guess we're going to fucking whack him in this episode. He's done, man. You know, we're just going to kill him. Honestly, it wasn't really surprising to me because, I mean, at this point, we have to imagine when we were watching Battlestar, it was like all bets were off on anything. I mean, anything could have happened at this point. We didn't trust anything, or, you know, we were just like, anyone can get killed at this point. And they set that up real early in the show. So it wasn't surprising, but it was certainly disappointing, you know, and especially the way they kind of did him dirty with like D. We've all been there. You know, I got dumped on my birthday one time, taking a girl out to a fancy restaurant. Now, fortunately, I didn't find her with someone else that day. I think it was like a day later, but at least it wasn't that day, you know, and I didn't get killed, right? And it makes for a hilarious story, you know. But fucking Billy, man, they ain't giving this guy a fucking break. They're like, nope. Hey dude, yeah, like, dude, no, Billy, I don't think you're gonna make it. Oh, look, man, they're totally making out, dude. Man, you gotta hold on so you can see this, dude.
Just to like touch on the issue with like him not being available, I don't know if he was like, if he had actually been offered and was taking other projects or what, but apparently the writers were like, we wanted to write him into scenes or into episodes, but then we didn't know if he'd be available. So I'm guessing he was taking other things. And that does become a problem, obviously. Yeah. So I don't fault, like, he didn't sign the contract and he was off like trying to do other stuff. Like if he was off trying to do other stuff and actually was doing other stuff and that was taking away from his availability, I don't really fault you know, the showrunners and the writers for that portion of it. Like, that was his choice more than theirs, really. But
well, and they had to find a good exit. And honestly,
yeah, this was a good exit.
This was a good exit generally. Because for everything else that happens, I feel like his character would have been way more important down the line. Mm-hmm. So this actually was the good time to take him out.
Yeah. At one point, Roslin was like, he'll be president, or he could be president someday. He could be
president. Yep.
But well, we lost that option. So one of the things I mentioned was like, Billy tries to be a hero and kind of isn't. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, he tries. He really does. Doesn't really succeed. Immediately gets killed. Again, like I said, feel bad. And also mm-hmm. D is obviously like, she likes Billy as a person. She's sad about him dying. She leaves Apollo's, you know, who's badly, badly injured side to go like mourn Billy being dead. Check on him, I guess, first and then mourn him a little bit. But
yeah, can you imagine D just, Billy, hey, oh, this is awkward. Okay, you're both shot. Let me see. I'm sorry this happened. I gotta go, you know. But honestly, the way I've always kind of seen, like, I really like D and I really like Billy. Both of them together seems a little weird to me, but it seems weird to me in the sense of that, like, hey, we're both stuck on a deserted island type of relationship, to where it's like, look, they can put you on an island, and if you guys are the only two people there, even if you're not attracted to them or something, I feel like you would eventually become attracted to them because they would be your only real form of comfort in something like that, right? Obviously, that's not 100% of the time, but I would say that there's probably a high probability that that would happen. And it's always seemed like that also. And D was smart by dating Billy, right? Because when you're in a ship full of a bunch of people, like, I always tell people, I'm like, dude, date outside your circle. Don't date inside your circle, because then we got to play the fucking divorce game, right? Right? Because then it's like, wait a minute.
Oh, no. Yes.
Whose friends are mine?
I know.
So I was
far too, like, much personal experience with that.
Yeah, dude. And that's why it's like, look, never. And I always tell people that. I tell my kid that, you know, I'm like, dude, don't date inside your circle, you know, because then you got to make some hard choices later on. But that's how I've kind of like, that's where I felt like D was like smart, right? Like, D's like kind of dating outside, you know, whatever. And Billy was nice. And the way they ran into each other was cute and all that kind of stuff. But
oh yeah, the start of their relationship, it was they had a good meet cute where Billy like walks into the bathroom and D is just there. Because the bathrooms are co-ed on Galactica. Mm-hmm. And they had a really great meet cute. They're both cute people who are attracted to each other. And Billy's a nice kid and Dee's a nice girl. But then Dee gets hardened a lot faster because of, obviously, like, she's in the military, like the job that she's in and everything. And I think that she had not had a lot of interaction, if any, with Lee, with Apollo before, or even early on in the show when she first starts dating Billy. And then as she gets to know Apollo, obviously, like, her affection, she's like, no, this is the guy for me. I think the biggest qualm I have with this is that she doesn't tell Billy sooner. I'm not judging Dee as a, like, as a character really, or as a person, but, you know, it is a little bit like, Billy is so, like, sweet on her and so sure of their relationship that he is straight up proposing. And she's like, oh, wait a minute. And okay, I get her saying like, no, I can't marry you. But then to immediately go on a date that night, just, girl.
Yeah, there was already something, like, your brain was already done at that point, or either that, or you're just trying to escape a situation, right? And we've all done that, you know, so.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm not going to be judgmental. We all, like, make mistakes and whatever, but Dee, you've had some traumatic shit going on, but, like, maybe you should have taken the time to make sure Billy didn't think that it was time to propose to you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, you had one more note here about Starbucks. That's hilarious.
Yeah, dude. When Starbucks walks in to, like, repair the AC or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I mean, guys, how dumb are hostage takers? This kind of seems to be a theme with anytime I see hostage things in any kind of media. It's like none of them are fucking smart. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I need the AC guy to come, you know, and it's always some huge buff guy who clearly is like, oh, hey there, citizen. I'm here to fix your unit of machinery over there.
Is it porn or is it...
Exactly. And it's just like, dude, look, yeah, exactly. You're either in the military or this is like, I walked onto a porn set, man. Like, one of the two is happening here, but you're absolutely not the fucking repair guy. So I don't know, but I always see that and it always drives me fucking crazy where they just, like, walk in and it's like, you know, they have their badge half covered and there's guns clearly and bulletproof vest under them. And they're like, oh, no problem, AC guy. Go ahead and fix the AC. If you don't mind, I'm going to put my gun down here on the table for a little bit, and I'm going to go walk 30 yards over there to go use the bathroom by myself. It's just so dumb, you know? It's like, come on, dude. You know, like, if I was going to do it, dude, like, I would have found somebody who maybe looked like Fisk, right? Fisk looks like he could be, like, a repairman, you know? I'd be like, all right, Fisk, I got a mission for you. You're going to have to walk in here. Here, put on this jumpsuit. You're going to drop the pants a little bit. We want to show a little butt crack, you know? You want to make sure that you really lean the butt crack in their direction so that way they'll be like, oh, and then not look at you and look away, right? Because no one wants to look at that. And then when that happens, you do the dirty work, right? Like, come on, tell me that plan wouldn't work, dude, right? Who's going to sit there looking at someone's butt crack? Everyone's going to be like, oh, God. And then, just let them do it.
Well, also, what have these people been watching? There was that whole, like, documentary that was released that Starbucks featured. This is fucking Starbucks. She has been everywhere. Like, yeah, she had her hair pulled back and her hat pulled real low over, kind of low over her face. But it's like...
No, exactly. It's like, oh, look, Manny's joining the podcast. And I'm like, wait a minute, Manny, who's Manny? Like, wait a minute. My name is Timothy.
Oh, my God. It goes back to our House of the Dragon episode. Oh, people sneaking into things.
Badly. Exactly. Badly.
But this is very much like Jamie sneaking into Dorne, like handless blonde dude.
Exactly. It's like, you know. Like, one of the hostages, is like, wait a minute, I'm pretty sure that's Starbuck. Starbuck? No, my name is Star Chuck. Oh, okay. You just looked like that Starbuck. No, we're not related. My last name is Chuck. Hers is Buck. So we're totally different.
She's not Kara Thrace. She's Sarah Trace.
Sarah Trace? Yeah. No, you're thinking of characters. I'm Sarah Trace. I'm different. You know, like, oh, my mistake.
Oh, my God. Okay. Next up, while episode 17 might have been called The Captain's Hand, with the central plot being issues with the new commander of the Pegasus, we had to go with something that stood out to us quite a bit more, especially in this very current day and age, the abortion discussion and decision. Now, apparently, Mary McDonnell had a lot of trouble with the idea of Roslyn banning abortion and needed help with understanding her motivations for doing so. Like, this episode was really tough for Mary McDonnell as an actor, which good. Yes. Thank you. I mean, especially like 20-ish years ago. Mm-hmm. And there is that bit in the episode where Rosalind is like, I supported abortion. And then also, of course, this whole like discussion, and this stems from when young woman, I'm not sure how old the girl slash woman is that stows away to get to the Galactica mm-hmm. to visit Doc Cottle is. P.S. Yet again, I say, holla Doc Cottle, that people just know they can come to him for this shit. Like, how many people has he helped without them being caught?
Yep.
Snaps for Doc Cottle. Again. Again. Yep. Like, we did it last episode. We're doing it again. Love me some Doc Cottle right now. He might be my new, like, favorite standout character from this rewatch.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, like, this whole discussion and the decision that Rosalind makes, which is based on her needing to keep, is it the Geminis, right? The Geminis are the ones that she needs to, like, keep their votes in order to, like, win this next election. She announces that they're going to ban it and that anybody who seeks one or any medical practitioner who helps somebody have one is going to be tried, whatever. But first of all, she does do it in such a way that she passes the law or announces that the law is passed, I guess, after the girl has already sought that asylum and had the procedure. So I guess go Rosalind for that. In another way, I'm like still angry with Rosalind for making that decision. But also this, we knew from Epiphanies that Baltar was pissed off about how Rosalind, how her letter was worded to him. You're very intelligent, but you don't care about people and you need to be better if you're going to lead. And he was pissed off about that, which also like, what the fuck? That letter was nice as shit. Considering it was way nicer than it could or even probably should have been. But he was big mad about it. And he uses this announcement of Rosalind's, which many people do not agree with, to announce his bid for president. So there's a lot of, yes, there's this, the whole thing with the new commander, the Pegasus, et cetera, going on. But this is to me the way more important, even though it's supposed to be like the B plot, it's the way more important part of this episode.
It is, you know, and Baltar just playing like the typical political game, right? That's what they do. Everybody hates something and then someone's going to come up and say, oh, well, I'm going to do this for you. But then they never really do shit to begin with, but they do it anyway. They say those things anyway, you know? So it's like, my thought on the abortion thing was like really wild on this because I was like, no, you can't ban it. And then I'm like, well, you said that people need to start having babies. You didn't make it an order, but you did tell it. And we are talking about the survival of the human race also. So like, what do we do here? You know, like, but then again, how is their society set up? Do they take a lot of responsibility for these kind of things? And maybe that's just if somebody gets pregnant, it's because they absolutely meant to get pregnant.
Yeah, we don't know how this girl got pregnant either. She seems upset enough that I don't think it was a very...
No, exactly.
Positive experience. But even like that set aside, what I'm going to say is this episode comes just what two episodes? No, three. Because 14 is Black Market and this is episode 17, right? So in Black Market, we have a young child who is extremely ill and getting sicker and can't get the medications that she needs. So like, obviously, like, I don't think Rosalind was ever like informed of that specific instance, but she was surely informed about the issues with the Black Market and the fact that they were hoarding medications and keeping it from people who needed it because they wanted more money, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, I think it was the way things were back then too, but it's way more, it's something that people are more aware of now. So if I'm in the situation where I get pregnant, honestly, whether I want it or not, but I know that I am on the very lower rungs of my family doesn't have money. We don't have a way to get medicines that are already in like low stock, low availability, et cetera. Like, yes, we got to continue the human race in this instance, but A, do we want to continue the human race with a bunch of children who aren't wanted and then have horrible lives because of it possibly? And, or do we want to try to continue the human race, but have all these children being born who can't be properly taken care of because there aren't enough resources. So that's where I'm coming from. Like, sure, sure. Yes, have babies, continue the human race. But also maybe think twice about that, because nothing good is happening. They're not in a position. The whole fleet is not in the position to create more medicine to the extent that it is needed, to create more food, even at times to the extent that it is needed with the people that they have. So, even beyond all that, right to choose, hands down. I don't care what the situation is personally.
Yeah, it just depends. Like, you know, when there's like, I don't know how to present any of this without it coming off like controversial or anything like that. Okay, just theory craft with me here for a minute. So, and I'm talking about it strictly in the sense of like Battlestar. So don't think of it as like real world shit, because there's way too many dynamics in the real world. But I'm just talking in the sense of when you are in a fleet that is part of a military, right? You are in subjugation of that military, right? Because they're the ones who are calling the shots. They're the ones who are doing things. If they tell you that, hey guys, we can't feed 10,000 of you, 10,000 of you are going to get ditched on this planet, you don't have a say in that. They'll do a lottery or they'll do something, and you're at the mercy of somebody else, period. So there's no choice there. But in saying that, also, like, I absolutely agree that there's no resources. There's nothing like that. And that's why I think this concept, I mean, I understand why they like introduced it into the story, right? Because it was like, okay, it makes sense because we're supposed to be having babies, but then a girl wants an abortion. Also, me personally, I'd be like, look, you probably need to not have any babies until you get to a planet that maybe there's food, and then maybe there's things you can make medicine with, and then you can do these kind of things. But then even when you get there, you're not going to have to ban it. When people get comfortable and they build homes and they're relaxed now, then they're just going to start setting up families naturally and just let them like do that. So the fact that it's here is clearly just to strike a nerve, you know?
It's all about religion and politics.
Yeah.
And the handholding of those two in this show specifically, but also I think it is meant to reflect the handholding of religion and politics in our country. Absolutely. The thing is, like 20-ish years ago, it was kind of like this is a thing we all recognize, but with the overturning of Roe v. Wade so recently, rewatching this now makes it so much more anger inducing, especially as, you know, an AFAB person, especially as a person who still has all of my reproductive organs intact. The weird thing is, like, I think even as you were kind of arguing for like, I don't know, is it problematic? You were actually saying things that were like, no, yeah, this is bad. Don't do this, a ban thing.
So, yeah, exactly.
And I also know you, and I know where your thoughts on this are. In real life, and even to an extent in this show. And also, let's be real, Rosalind doesn't do this because she actually agrees with the fact that continuing the human race is that's the reasoning she uses in her head to make it seem like a little bit more okay that she's making this pronouncement. But she, as a person, character, whatever, does not agree with it and is only doing it because, I mean, and she straight up says, like, I need to get reelected because who else is going to do this job? At that point, she thought Zarek was the only person up against her. And she's like, yeah, he's a terrorist, but also I still need to cement this. What if I lose like the entire Gemini's vote? Mm-hmm. And then again, a lot of it is just to introduce the whole Baltar.
And that's really what it is. But even that within itself is a complete reflection of today, right? Because never once did the Geminis people say anything like how they're going to deal with the resources that the babies are going to be taking up. Because in the end, and now this is my opinion, take it or leave it, but they care about the birth of the baby. They do not care about the welfare of the child. They care. They're in the product of children being born after that. Bye, go fuck yourself. We don't care. If you're poor or if you're in that, that's because you made those decisions. Okay, well, I made those decisions, but you didn't let me make the decision of not having the baby now. And the fact that Rosalind does it for this vote is exactly the fucking problem that we have on the political field, and we've had on the political field for decades now, is that we keep getting people on here that are, they say things, you know, on one side of their mouth, and the other side of their mouth, they're doing completely different and saying something else because they need to get votes because it's better for them to be on there than anybody else. And that's a fucking problem. So yes, out of all of the Battlestar episodes, this segment literally is the most true to form of what's going on right now today.
Yeah, I'm just going to say this and then we're going to move on to the next one. You can't tell me that a certain lecherous buffoon who is running for the president of our country right now actually disagrees with abortion and has never been involved in somebody having to have one.
Oh no, what are you talking about? Come on, man. you know, but he's sent from
fake working at as many McDonald's as you want to. you can stand in front of as many churches as you want to, holding an upside down Bible.
Exactly.
That time. I don't believe a word that's coming out of your mouth, you lying ass buffoon. And on that note, let's move on to the next thing, please.
Yeah, we need to move on because we're going to get flagged after this.
Okay. We'll go from like hundreds of views of these episodes to this one is like, you have 10 views. And it's like, why is that?
Oh, that's interesting.
Listen, I didn't name names.
Yeah. Whoopsie. Yeah, let's continue. The final top moment for this set of episodes is Apollo being promoted to commander of Pegasus. Of course.
I will say one thing. Adama saying that Garner was his decision and that Garner's failures are therefore Adama's responsibility. And then Adama giving the command to his son. Like, I'm not saying he made a bad choice here. I'm not at all. But now it's your son. And...
It's that Adama keeps putting people in positions that honestly, like, I have to question his judgment. Because didn't we have that other guy who was going to be the new CAG or whatever? Remember what season was that? Did that happen here? Was that season one? I think.
No, that was earlier this season during like the whole mutiny storyline.
Yeah. So they had this guy and Adama's like, no, I think he's good. And everyone's like, no, this guy sucks.
Well, he's green. But he was loyal.
He was loyal, exactly. So, and then he puts this other guy there, and it's kind of like, okay. And that was another thing I really didn't like about that episode that we're not talking about, is that they got rid of Fisk, you know, because Fisk was one of those characters.
And he died in such a dumbass way.
Ugh. In such a dumbass way, but I felt like his character had more to go, you know what I'm saying? Because he was weird, because he was like, I don't know, he just reminded me of like the friend's dad, right? Everyone's got a friend's dad that's like that it's like you respect, you can kind of see, like, I don't know, like who he is as a person, you know, and you can tell that he's been thrusted in there. He's not someone that wanted to be there or anything like that. Literally, he comes off at like a cable repair guy who just happens to be like the commander of the fucking Pegasus now for the short amount of time that he was, with the short amount of time that everyone becomes the captain of the Pegasus. Why would you put your kid in there? I'd be like, my kid was like, Dad, I want to run the ship. I'm like, bro, I just put four people in there and they were dead within one season.
God, I really hate to make a reference to that book and movie series that I don't care to talk about anymore, but it's the Defense Against the Dark Arts decision.
Yeah,
this is not me fan personing over that series at all. That's just like, unfortunately, the first comparison that comes to mind. And also, it seems so fucking weird. Like, yeah, Fisk wasn't like a perfect person, but like for him to go from like,
he was a relatable person.
Yeah. From that to like being an actual seriously problematic person who's like kind of in the top echelons of this black market issue is like, come on. And then he just gets... Is it Garrett? How do you say that? I've only ever read it. Garrett?
Yeah, there is a technical term for it. We just call them pianoed, or they got wired. That's what we call them. So I don't
know
what they actually...
Yeah, it's all of that said. Let's be real. Apollo was kind of the only choice. He's been CAG of Galactica for so long. He really is, until we learn about Shaw and Razor, Shaw, who was not present at all in the Pegasus episodes before this. Was like retconned into the whole story. We'll get into that, not in this episode, but soon. Until we learn about Shaw, like, Fisk was the best choice. And after Fisk, Garner, I guess, was like, I don't think he was a good choice. I don't really know what the fuck happened there. But in the end, yes, Apollo is the kind of best and maybe only choice for this role. I'm not talking shit about it. It's just more like, Adama, dude, what if your son fucks up? And now you're going to have to be like, not only are his like failures as a leader my responsibility, his failures like as everything. Anyway.
But... And going on that, I'm just going to say, gentlemen, to oligarchy. Right? Like, I get baby Adama. He's the best suited person. If it wasn't a survival situation, I would never have put him on that ship because the optics look fucking bad. Okay, period. They look fucking bad. But you have to do what you have to do to survive. Right? Right? Or no? Right? We have to put him on here now. Right? So this is where everything gets weird now. So now what you have is you have the entire fleet that is pretty much ran by three people. Let's face facts. It's Rosalind and the two Adamas and their family. So from the way that I see it, even though that...
And Rosalind and Adama are, you know, a thing.
A thing. Now, let's just say that that's not known, right? Because I assume that's probably not completely known. But they did dance in public together and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. People are going to suspect that to begin with. So now what people are looking at, they're like, we have a president. And then we have a military leader that has influence over the president. And he just assigned his son to literally the highest role in the fleet next to him. Do you know where else you see those kind of things? Because we just had a war for like a decade overseas for something like that. It's just bad optics. Now, I understand that he is the best choice for it. Now, I know Adama, you know, so I'm like, I'm going to trust his opinion. I know what he's doing. However, for the normal people, we just had a weird little uprising with a peace with these people right over there that they wanted to demand peace. Like, this is just fuel to that fire is what it is. But he had to do what he had to do, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not, again, it was, what other choice does he have? Not Starbuck, for Christ's sake.
No.
Hilo could be a really great leader, but obviously he can't be put in that position because of the whole, you know, relationship with Asylum thing. So, that said, also, I don't think Hilo would want that sort of.
No, I don't think so. I wouldn't think so. He's clearly the only person, like, they introduced a lot of people in the show, but they killed a lot of them off. So there really wasn't anyone left to put there. And it was like, hey, Apollo, like, if they'd offered me, like, if my dad said, Manny, I want you to command the Pegasus, I'd be like, fuck no, that ship is cursed. I said, you see how many people die on that ship all the time? And then this guy just died and the other guy died, you know? And then you got this guy with the piano wire neck. I'm like, no, dude, forget about it.
Apollo just ends up not going to New Caprica and, you know, gaining some weight and being unhappy. Right, exactly. Now we're going to talk about some insights that we've gleaned from being longtime fans. As I mentioned in previous episodes about BSG, while we're covering this show, I'm going to refer to any Easter eggs or bloopers that I mention as Dean sites, because my partner Dean knows far more about this series than I ever could and won't stop pointing things out to me, which means I've long ago lost track of what I knew before I knew him. All that said, I only have a couple for this one. A, even Ronald D. Moore and David, is it Icke? E-I-C-K? I have no, I'm
dead.
Icke. I'm going to pronounce it Icke. Did not like Black Market. So like they had high hopes for it and neither one of them thought it turned out good. So there's that at least. Also, Katie Sackhoff, who plays Starbuck, did not think it was believable that Kat became Top Gun. She thought that maybe someone we hadn't seen before, like from the Pegasus or whatever, would make more sense. But the show creators slash writers wanted it to be someone we knew. And I gotta be honest, I agree with Katie Sackhoff. Kat's been a pilot for a little while, but she's still pretty new. And Starbuck is supposed to be the biggest hotshot in the fleet, the best pilot.
I was hoping for Hot Dog. I wanted Hot Dog to be the best because Hot Dog is the antithesis of Starbuck, right? Kat, it pretty much is Starbuck, just, you know, just on drugs, right? It's just Starbuck on drugs. But
well,
like,
to be fair, Starbuck does drink a lot. So,
well,
it's like pick your poison, ladies. Yeah,
but nobody's getting her. She's not drinking and flying, right? She just drinks when she's off. You
she's
know?
Hungover flying, though.
Okay, but she's got no alcohol on in her blood thing, all right? So they're fine. There's no alcohol blood cunts. However, Kat is getting high.
Actually, I would disagree. The amount Starbuck drinks, particularly like the amount they kind of show her drinking in the Scar episode. I think she does have a little bit of a BA. It might not be a 0.08 or above, but
she's still a little tips. She's a little tips. She's still going in there.
You've had one of those. You've had one of those nights where you drank way too much, stayed up way too late, and woke up like 5 hours later, like, oh, I feel fine. Why do I feel fine? Oh, shit.
Yep, exactly. Because I'm still drunk.
2 or 3 hours later. Oh, God, life is ending as we know it. I'm crawling across the floor.
Yep. Oh, but anyway. I would have liked for it to have been Hot Dog. Because Hot Dog was the one who broke formation when they were training, right? When they were like, hey, she was sending the kids home because the ship came out and he turned around and actually helped her. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay, so he's breaking the rules like Starbuck would. But there was something more level-headed about him that I was like, I really wish that it would have been him, you know? Because I loved his attitude with everything, that he wasn't like over the top about anything. I love the fuck. One of my favorite things is in season 3 and they're going to do that crazy launch with the Galactica coming out of the sky. And he's just like, well, this is going to be interesting. And that's all he said. And just not like, oh shit, how are we going to handle this? He's just like, well, we'll see how this goes. Let's check it out. But he was really good behind the fucking stick or whatever. So I don't know. I was hoping.
Yeah. I mean, I think the whole point of it was like Starbuck and Kat have been going at each other.
Yeah.
Like, literally, oh God, literal cat fight. I hate it. Oh my God, I hate it. Anyway, okay. Let's get into our personal insights. I know I'm not alone in disliking Black Market. We literally did not have a single top five moment from it. We had five episodes, but no top five moments from Black Market. But we did actually almost have a top five moment from it, that being Apollo actually shooting the Black Market leader. The guy's like, you're not like me. You're not going to shoot me. And Apollo's just like, blam.
Yep.
It's pretty straightforward. I agree. I don't think it should have been a top five moment. It was one of those, like, it was on my list just in case. And then we were thankfully able to come up with two from episode 17, because my God. And actually, you know, I'm going to go into my next one just because I only have two, weirdly enough. Mm-hmm. And my next one does actually just, it's the same episode. So upon rewatch, again, while I still do not like the Black Market episode at all, my dislike of it stems more from the weird side plot of Apollo's relationship with the sex worker, and that he was trying to apparently fill some hole from his lost fiance who wanted a baby when he didn't. Compounded by the fact that the Black Market isn't totally done away with in the end, but they never mention it again. The whole episode is just awkward. It makes no sense. Where did this fiance come from? We've never heard about this fiance before. And not only did he have a fiance, but like there was this whole drama where she wanted a baby and he didn't want to have kids or whatever. And now he's awkwardly, and I'll be honest, like I feel him with, what's that little girl's name? Paya?
Yeah.
I think. He tries to give her this hideous doll and she's like, and the mom is like, oh no, it's like, it's okay. She's not sure how to react. I'm like, I would react the same way to that ugly ass doll.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But also I feel that because until I had nieces and nephews and learned a bit better how to like interact with children, I felt like that's how children were around. Get away from me, weird person. We can tell you don't actually want to be our friend or something. I don't know. But yeah, this is just a...
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like this is the only episode you can pull out of Battlestar and never rewatch or show someone who's watching the show for the first time. Because the fiance thing was never mentioned, nor was never mentioned again. Anything about it. I guess, you know what? I guess Fisk, because Fisk dies. That would be the only thing that they would have to know.
Yep.
That's it.
Fisk could have died in 100 different, like 100 other different ways.
Yeah.
So
writers would have killed him.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Your insights.
Okay, so the representative that came to the ship for the quote-unquote peace movement, I'm just going to say this, he had a very punchable face.
He did, and though.
I'm somebody who's like, oh yeah, we got to sit down and like talk. But when you get with people that are this self-righteous, there was just something about him that just pissed me the fuck off, dude. And it's like, look, aside from their fucking stupid ass, oh, we just want peace with the Cylons. Like, the Cylons didn't start all this to begin with. And it wasn't like just some kind of skirmish, like, oh, me and my neighbors have been fighting for a few months and we have military people on both. No, they went in for complete genocide is what they did. They tried to literally wipe them off of the planet. And then it's like, oh no, wait, we should sit down and talk to them. It was cool that they kind of touched base with like Rosalyn and how she dealt with the school strikes and stuff like that when she was, you know, working for the president, and the way she handled that was awesome. But I'm like, look, these people you're dealing with now are not those people. Those people were actually reasonable. These people, they're not interested in negotiating, right? Because you can tell right off the bat, they're not interested in fucking negotiating. They're interested in everybody doing what they say.
They're literally, they have somebody putting like broken shells into Vipers. Like, what the, like, that's how they started.
That's how they fucking do it. So they were a different person, and literally hearing the guy run his mouth, with that punchable face, they wasted no time going there. And honestly, with the guy's fucking attitude, it wouldn't have taken me long either.
Listen, I am all for protests. I am all for like using your voice against things that deserve to be questioned. 100%. I'm all for being loud and obnoxious. I am not for being violent. And I'm also not for this like weird, like, oh, we're going to like, they didn't even announce their presence. They just planted somebody to put broken shells in a Viper. Yeah. Fuck that. Well, it also, again, genocide.
Yeah. And that's the thing. We're not talking about just two countries that are fighting and they're like, dude, we need to stop this. We need to talk and we need to figure this out. It's different. The silence came with a surprise attack and they didn't just like, oh, we're going to sit over here and send our airplanes. No, no, no. They literally were throwing nukes until everybody was like, fucking, those are not people that you negotiate with. And in all honesty, I probably would have grabbed that whole group of people and been like, no problem. The next time we see a Cylon base star, I'm going to put you in a little Raptor. I'm just going to float you on out there and you guys can go make your peace all you want and let me know how it works out.
Because this also has some weirdly current real world connotations that these writers couldn't have possibly predicted to this extent.
Yeah. How much do you want to try to get canceled in this episode? You know,
I'm not trying to get canceled. I know exactly what I'm thinking. I would possibly get canceled by one group of people, but
I'm saying. Yeah, I'm not saying one side or the other. I'm just saying that we're going to get canceled by somebody one way or another. You know?
I'm gonna leave that out there and just say that genocide is never a good response to dealing with terrorists or being mistreated. That's all I'm going to say.
I have two more here. So the ending to Scar, right? So people who watch Cowboy Bebop, the anime, not the live action, will kind of recognize this kind of format. There's a few episodes in Cowboy Bebop where things get kind of weird and stuff like that. And then in the end, there's always this kind of like calm sound, right? It's like after you like ran a mile or after you like got broken up with and you were really angry, when you finally calm down and you have these moments of kind of just, I don't know what you call it, just kind of peace almost is the best possible, which is what that ending is to begin with for that episode Scar. And it happens in Battlestar Galactica a few times. And literally it was kind of, that's exactly what, even when I first watched this the first time, when it first aired, I was like, man, that ending reminded me of this episode from Cowboy Bebop. And I don't even remember which episode it was, but there's an episode that's what it made me think of. So this whole like outro thing, I just think was, it just made me think about that. And I just really like, it's literally the same feeling I got when I was working at the sign shop for almost 10 years. And literally, I left that place blasting this one song from Cowboy Bebop from the ending, because it was that, literally, it's that scene with fucking Hilo and Starbuck. Like, that's the way I felt. So that's it for that one. Okay, so the last one. Can we talk? I'm not going to lie here. I've always had a problem with the Cylon Raiders, how they look on this show. I really hate that they have the same face as Cylon. Now, you know where I'm going with this, but anyone who's anyone knows Thomas the Tank Engine is.
Yeah.
And I have always, for some reason, that has always been in the back of my mind every time the Cylon Raiders would show up. And even when they had the other ones, like that new Cylon, you know, I guess it would be equivalent to the Raptor, right? When they had their things. And again, oh, it has like a face on it, two faces on it. It's like, I don't get it. Are those the pilots? Why is that a thing? Mm-hmm. So when the episode came out and they're like, oh, it's Scar, right? So it's called Scar because I saw what the name of it was before it started. And I'm like, okay, well, this is great, right? Because maybe this has to do with Kat. Maybe it has to do with Kara Thrace. Like, you know, like, yeah, these people are scarred. Like, you know, they've gone through so much. Maybe this is one of those. No, it's not one of those episodes at all, because this Cylon Raider has a scar on its face. It's like, really? Okay. Like, that's a little weird, but you know, no. So it's just a Raider. It's just, he has a scar on his face because he got hurt, and he wouldn't have gotten hurt if he was a really useful engine, but clearly he wasn't. So he got hurt. And as far as I'm concerned, for Scar, they really should have just given him a fucking eye patch and a fucking cigar while we're at it. And he's just like, I am Scar, you know? And he's just like puffing on this fucking cigar, you know, and fucking going to town, like, you know, rooting tooting and shit, you know, like, I mean, if he's going to have his own personality, give him his own fucking personality, dude.
I should have known there would eventually be a train analogy in this.
Of course there is. We always go to trains. Always.
Sorry. For those of you who are watching or listening to these episodes who have not listened to our House of the Dragon ones, we have a train. We have a train problem.
Yeah, we have a train problem. This podcast.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong.
I'm just saying, like, you know, I think it would have, I don't know, it would have given Scar a little more personality. You know, like, if they're going to give him a scar as opposed to it just being, I mean, they should have just made him some like gold plated Raider or something, like he graffitied himself up. You know, Scar went and got drunk one night and he was like, you know, I want a tattoo, you know, and I want it to be of all the ships that I like blew up, or how many times I've gotten resurrected with all this information, and done something like that and just gave him some personality. Or even better, you know what Scar should have been? They could have kept the stupid Thomas Tank Engine face on it, right? Is that the big reveal at the end is like a hatch opens and it's one of the old Cylons. And he's like, I've been flying this Raider for however the fuck, a decade already, and da 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 da. And then he could have had a fucking cigar and an eye patch, right? And he could have been the fucking, like, I was like, oh shit, Scar was a person the whole time. But instead, it's like, no, it's just...
See, now all I can think about is a fucking Cylon Raider with the creepy Thomas with its like apple cheeks.
Yep, exactly. like fucking just killing humans, you know?
Have you ever read the Dark Tower series by Stephen King?
No, I haven't, no.
Oh my God. Yeah, there's a Blaine the Train in there. And I feel like if you had read the Dark Tower series, instead of Thomas the Tank Engine, or Thomas, whatever the fuck his name is, instead of Thomas the Tank Engine, you would have been making Blaine the Train references. Oh, and yeah. I know that I am not the only person. I know there are people listening to and or watching this that have read Dark Tower series and will understand what I mean here. Well, any last thoughts before I close out?
Yeah, we already mentioned trains, so we are done here.
All right. As we close out this episode, just want to give a shout out to our Heroes Tour patron, Tommy of the TKOK Podcast Network. Thank you so much for supporting us. And thank you for joining us for our fifth Media That Made Us episode on episodes 13 through 17 of BSG Season 2. Our next episode is going to cover the TV movie Razor all on its own. While this episode will be pre-recorded due to the fact that I will be traveling the first week of November, that recording will go public at our usual day and time, that being Wednesday, November 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern. So keep an eye out for that. And as always, for the most current news and updates about this series, be sure to follow at A Geek Saga on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Twitter, and YouTube. But also please consider backing our Patreon at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment. And the Razor episode is going to be on Patreon probably, I would say, a couple days early at the very least. So yeah, definitely check that out.
Thank you for listening to the Geek Saga podcast. If you like what you heard, please check out other Geek Saga entertainment endeavors, including the Sagas and Sass webcast and podcast, and Ice and Fire Con.